Let's go to the great state of Ohio. To Bay. Bay, how can I help you?
Hi, Monsignor. I'm turning my phone off.
Go ahead. How can I help you?
I'm in a similar situation to your previous caller. I'm connected to a network of those who were reluctantly divorced, where we did nothing grave enough to justify separation. And in the popular culture, there's this strong aversion against judging. And what we find among some of the people I know, and including myself, is even amongst the faithful, because there's this strong aversion against judging, there are abandoning spouses, the ones who are responsible or the cause of the breakup of a marriage. And these spouses appear to act like they're Catholics in good standing, and they go to communion, and they fully participate in everything in the church. Is there anything that you suggest we could do to help encourage somebody to at least instruct these abandoners? I know that was a long question, but
it's a real situation. I guess because I'm old, I've seen the pendulum of this swing so radically. When I was a young boy growing up in rural Pennsylvania, my parents owned a general store. It was the only store in town. Other than a hardware store, it was the only store in town. And so everybody in town came into the store. And in that entire little village, there was only one divorced man. And I used to watch, even as a little boy of five or six, when the bell would ring and he'd walk into the store, a grand silence would descend and everybody would avert their eyes and begin to stare at the counter or at the groceries. They wouldn't talk to him. He was shunned. Nobody would engage him in polite company because he was a social outcast, a pariah, because he was divorced, that he had left his wife. And the only person, my mom, who ran the store, usually my dad was on the road as a salesman, day in, day out, my mom ran the store. She would interact with them, and he was so grateful to have another human that would speak with him. But I'd watch it. Everybody in the store would not talk to him. They literally sometimes turn their back on him. Now, to me, that kind of shunning is an extreme that I think is unhuman, anti-human, non-merciful, and not what God wants. But I saw that as a kid growing up. That's the way it was. Now we've gone to the other extreme where divorce is almost celebrated as something positively good and expected. It's not a matter of are you divorced, it's how many divorces have you had. It's sort of like, you know, a statistic on a baseball card for our politicians and for our leaders. Obviously the pendulum swung way too far the other way. Now, someone who has abandoned a spouse, if you're living separately, there's no necessary obstacle to receiving the sacraments. Living separately is not ideal, but it's also not an obstacle to the sacraments because you're allowed to live separate. Yeah.
The catechism, some of the frustration is that the catechism does talk about how divorce is a grave offense against nature and immoral, and it's tolerable in certain situations, and separation is tolerable.
Right.
So the frustration comes when there is no legitimate reason for separation of spouses, where someone leaves because, you know, you hear about these women who fell out of love, or the man who wants to have a new girlfriend and his freedom. So there's these people who are Catholic who are doing that.
Right. If they take up a second marital type relation, either they enter a civil marriage or they live in a marital type of relationship, obviously that's wrong. That's the sin of fornication. That's a sin of adultery, because they are living, they're living as if they're married when they aren't. And that obviously is grave matter. And that's an obstacle to receiving the sacraments. But a couple that's just separated for legitimate reasons, and this can happen, can live separately while still being in the state of grace. There's even in canon law a provision for a formal petition to the bishops
for recognition of that
state. So it's the remarriage that is the problem, or the attempting to live as in the marital state as if one isn't.
I'm asking about those who are separated for no legitimate reason.
And that ought not to happen, and they should be called back by their pastor or their friends, especially their friends. This is where fraternal correction comes in. We're a little bit cowardly to correct one another fraternally in the United States now. The idea that I love someone, I'm close enough as a friend to them that I don't want to see them go to hell. And therefore, I love them enough that I want to correct them if they're doing something that's seriously wrong and could lead to their eternal damnation. I think one of the things we've done is we don't talk enough about the kinds of things that lead to eternal damnation. One unrepented mortal sin, if we die in that state, we die separated from God by our own free choices. And while God desperately wants us to be with him forever in heaven, he won't force himself on us. And if we choose to separate ourselves from God and the things of God by either directly choosing against faith, hope, and love, or indirectly by living a life incompatible with faith, hope, and love, God respects our freedom to say no to him. And so for a person to live outside of the state of marriage just because they want to be free or be with someone else or whatever, that's grave matter. And if they die in that state without repenting, they're lost for all eternity. And yeah, I think anyone who loves someone enough to not want to see them in hell, and that's the minimum amount we need to love one another, is not to see the other person in hell. Even our enemies, we don't want to see them in hell. We want to see them saved. So we should love enough to fraternally correct and say, like this guy's friends, your husband's friends should say to him, you know you're going to hell if you don't repent. You know that you're going to be lost for all eternity unless you return to your senses and return to your commitment. You know, those are the kinds of things that should be said and said strongly out of friendship love.
And my question is, as a person who's in that kind of situation and I'm networked with other people in that situation, is there anything we can do that would help encourage a pastor or a friend to take that step? Because instead we get this, oh, don't judge stuff, or, oh, all the marriages look like they're invalid. And it's just,
well, no, I would, if you're in the same community, you have a right as a, canon law is pretty clear on this, that the lay faithful have sometimes the duty as well as always the right to express their legitimate concerns to their pastors. You have the right to say to your pastor, you need to have a word with this man. He's not being the father and the husband he is called to be, and you need to have a serious word with him to hopefully win him back.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We need to take a short break here on Go Ask Your Father.